meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Go. Run. Go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. John C. McGinley's here tonight from Drew's favorite show.
I gushed about that already, so we could go on, get over it, and talk about the movie.
All right, that's Scrubs. And James Mangold is here tonight, too. He is a writer and a director, and got a million credits to his name. I'll comb through them
not
as the night wears on. But Girl Interrupted and Copland and Identity, which is the new one that they're talking about. I saw the
I've seen the commercials.
Yeah. I like this. Who's in this?
John.
Who's, besides John.
Johnny Cusack and Ray Liotta and Amanda Peet and a whole cavalcade of thoroughbreds running as fast as they can to keep up
Duvall.
With Jimmy. Clay Duvall.
I was using John Cusack as an example of a guy who doesn't make too many bad movies. Like, I don't know, picky about his scripts. I mean, in a good way.
I think so. I think that's true. I think John gives a sh- and
that's one of the words you can't say on radio.
Yeah. Well, what I was we were talking.
All right.
We were. Well, you broke
three sentences in. That's good.
Broke your S, Cherry. Yeah. At minute 31 of the show.
Well,
but
done,
we were talking about guys like Nicolas Cage and John Travolta who seem to get a lot of praise heaped on them, but doing a good movie for every 11 horrible movies you do doesn't seem like a great batting average to me, and I think these guys should be punished for the Con Airs of the world or whatever it is they did that wasn't exactly as good as some of the other stuff they've done. And I think John Cusack is a guy who seems to search his work out pretty good.
Well, Johnny, over the years, has always had a work ethic that a formula that he's adhered to pretty strictly that goes three for them, three for me, one for them. So when he does three of either ones that he's written, developed, or slaved over for a long time, that constitutes one of his projects. And then I didn't think Con Air was as bad as you did, but Con Air would be one for
listen,
them.
I like Con Air. I just
Johnny was great in it.
It's just I was thinking of Nicolas Cage, but it's just when they pick on the Green Beret. I hate those movies. Don't do one of these movies. Here's the movie I don't like. I don't like when the guy walks into the biker bar and he's like, I just want to get my lady and get out of here. And a bunch of bikers come start picking on him. And he goes, I don't want any trouble. And then he leaves and he goes out in the parking lot. And a bunch of bikers surround him and go, you found trouble. And one of them pulls a switchblade and lunges at the guy. And he turns around and stabs the biker. And then goes to the gavel. 1 million years. What? 1 million years. And no chance of parole. It's like highly decorated. A Green Beret defends himself because some biker attacks him in a parking lot, and he's got to do hard time now.
The one I'm always scared of writing or directing would be the one with all the teletype machines where you cut from the CIA to Hong Kong to back again, and you see some Morgan Freeman's got to be there coming down a hallway with an important file, and it's like those. There's
conventions.
Yes,
it's tough because you get in. There's a lot of money thrown around this town to get people to do what they did already.
That's a lot about what
happens with those movies.
All right. Well, here's the last convention. I don't want you to play in a movie. I don't like it when the person washes up on the beach the night after the storm and then gets up and goes. It's the day after the night, huge storm.
What movie are you thinking of there?
Every movie,
Little Mermaid.
Every movie. No, every movie where every movie where there's a big ship thing and the person goes in the water the next day. It's always sunny and they're on the beach and they get up and they're like, ugh, what happened? I guess I passed out somewhere 20 nautical miles from and I just floated to safety. I evidently on my back.
So the epitome being the Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of, I don't know. Oh, the Gina Davis movie that was good.
What was that one?
Where she was Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, the adventure movie that Rennie Harlan directed.
Oh,
yeah. That was good, but she washed up on the beach.
It was not good.
That was good action.
I thought actually that was kind of, there was something kind of ingenious about
Come
that.
On.
That was the amnesiac hit woman movie.
Come on,
yeah,
John.
There's something kind of
John,
interesting
don't be
about
a snob.
That.
Come on. Man. Drew loves Scrubs.
Loves Scrubs.
And Drew...
Nothing flips my cookie, would you say? I don't watch anything.
Well, Drew's a doctor. Well, here's what Drew does. He has his kids. So he watches, like, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yes, yes.
And now he's up to SquarePants, SpongeMouth. And then he comes in here like an adult retard, and he's like, you don't know Thomas the Tank Engine? I'm like, yeah, I've heard of it. You don't know it? And I'm like, no, not really. Oh, my God, Adam, please.
I'm with you on that one, Dr. Drew. I'm Bob the Builder and the Wiggles.
You have a three-year-old?
I have a five-year-old.
So I'm like a 10-year-old. So it was like those 5 years I was.
Hold on. Drew, that's insulting to say you have a two-year-old when he's got a five-year-old.
Well, no, that's when you get into that stuff, is it too? So.
All right. Yeah. Well, okay. The point is he does not rant and rave about any show, and especially shows that involve doctors, because he's a doctor. You know, people get real snobby. They
Absolutely.
Sit there and they're like, fake, that's so fake.
Yeah, penalty flag.
Like, if I see, like, a sitcom about a guy who naps and masturbates, I just sit there, I'm like, fake, fake-o. No way. No, you go for the
that
Ronnie.
That being your area of particular
Kleenex.
Expertise?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it's
one of them. Well, it's your prime expertise, let's be fair.
Right. Drew does that with the doctor thing, but not this Scrubs. And he doesn't care who comes in here, but he was giddy like a schoolgirl when he found out
true.
You were coming
That's
in.
Pretty great.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No, I have nothing.
So when Identity comes out, is it this Friday?
Yeah.
And it looks good. I don't know, but what's it about exactly? Everyone checks into the same motel?
Well, you got it. There's a real bad storm out, and my friend McGinley here and a bunch of others are all out on the road. They're in Nevada. They're driving. There's a huge storm, and the roads become impassable, and one by one, they pull into a motel.
Yeah.
And
then there were none.
Yeah, and then things start happening. And it's one of those movies that's really hard to tell you too much about, because once you get past them all checking in, and you can clearly tell. I can clearly tell you that, you know, one by one, some start dropping.
Right.
You know what? This marketing campaign is genius too. My daughter started talking about this poster,
the palm print,
which is all over town. She
yeah.
Went, Daddy, are those supposed to be people on the fingers? I thought, whoa.
Yeah, it's the movie that has this sort of red and black, just hand, almost like you put it over a Xerox machine or put it in ink and planted it on a white piece of paper, and you stared at it for a while before you realized that the fingers were people.
And then there's a screaming, you know, Amanda Peet screaming her head off.
Screaming palm. Oh, is that Amanda Peet's mouth? Because if that was in my palm, I could really get some use out of it.
Well, you know, and one of the things...
Small enough, but don't put a hole in this thing.
One of the things we all sat down to try and do with this movie was to kind of... There's a lot of these kind of get 12 teenagers together and start to kill them movies where you kind of get your hit parade of WB stars and they start mm-hmm. to die one after another. And one of the things we all sat down and tried to do was raise the bar a little bit on this kind of on the horror movie and on the thriller, and you know, actors like John and Ray Liotta and Amanda Peet, all of us tried to make kind of a, how would you take what's really great about these movies, which is the fear they induce, the kind of this, because there's a real pleasure to getting into a movie theater and having the crap scared out of you.
Yes,
and you can say the S. You have an affinity for that word. So
no, I didn't. I jumped it. I jumped the S on that one. But I jumped right to crap, which is... thank you.
I completely... Well, give me, actually, both John and James, give me your idea of a scary movie. I mean, have you seen any lately? Has there been any that you've liked? I mean, the Circle or...
I like The Others.
The Others.
But
I like
but
The
my,
Others.
My favorite scary movies are a little older than that. I love The Shining.
True.
Okay.
No, I love The Shining, too. I've been trying to get Drew to see it. Do you realize Drew's never seen The Shining, everybody?
No, I have seen it now.
No, quiet, because I made you.
But I told these guys, because...
When's the first time you saw The Shining?
2 months ago. But I told John about how for 10 years I lived in a hospital, had no idea what happened during that time, and I have all this catching up to do. I didn't see Raging Bull.
Don't even start with him.
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew.
Didn't exist. I was dead for 10 years.
The missing decade.
I know, but what about the 20 years?
Elephant dicks.
What about the 20 years since you graduated from med school? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You can make up for stuff.
Oh, since?
Yeah.
Well, then it's been Thomas and
how about me begging you to watch The Shining since the day I met you?
And
Raging Bull.
And I finally did.
And you did too much.
elephant dicks.
You did 7 weeks ago.
I know. It took me a while.
All right. I'm disgusted.
Hey, then there's Alien, which I think is a, you know, people,
yes,
because it's in space, it immediately gets thrown in the sci-fi category, but really
great
movie.
You know what was great about that? Nice.
They got a sound effect for every one of these.
Nice slow build.
Yeah.
An hour of the movie, didn't even know what was going on yet, getting a little creeped out, but nothing too much. And then the thing that was great about it, I think they lost later on with the Aliens movie, is you could focus on the one alien to hate. Eventually, there became thousands of aliens, and they're mowing them down quite easily. I like the one indestructible alien, the one that wouldn't go away, the one you could sort of get a relationship going with.
Yeah.
True. Seen Alien?
Yeah.
Are you mumbling?
Did you really?
No.
No.
What's the Audrey Hepburn movie where Alan Arkin comes out from behind
the refrigerator? Wait Until Dark. That's a goodie.
How about some good just campy stuff like Evil Dead?
That's just a great movie, but that's not the one. Like, when I'm talking about what inspired me to make this one and get involved with this one was really those films. Also, The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, the one with Kurt Russell up in the Antarctic.
Sure. That's great.
Drew, see that?
Keith David.
No. You know, the funny thing is they're all from that period in the 80s where Drew was literally locked away in the catacombs of some hospital.
Oh, no. Drew hides behind that. Please.
What's the secret?
He's an idiot. That's what the secret is. That's the real secret. It's no secret, actually, to me.
He's an idiot.
Molly?
Hey.
You're 20?
I'm 20.
What's up?
I'm calling because when I have an orgasm, a large amount of liquid comes out of me.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an orgasm?
Yeah.
A large amount of liquid comes out of you.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. That was like an alien when the thing came out. And, that's you. What do you think it is? It's not urine, is it?
No, it doesn't smell like urine, and it's clear, but it's, like, a lot.
Okay.
Does your boyfriend mind?
No, but it's kind of embarrassing.
Is it every time?
Every single time.
You know, women that have this experience, particularly the ones that have it every time, are sort of ashamed of it, and they're embarrassed, and they don't want to talk about it, and they feel like they're the only one that this happens to. And it's not that uncommon, but it is common to feel the way you do about it, which is unfortunate. Guys are fine with it.
Do you do it when you're alone?
Yeah, when I'm alone or with anybody.
I know, but something comes out of you every time something comes out of your mouth. I mean, every time an orgasm comes out. Where's an orgasm come out? Your mouth?
Your soul.
Every time an orgasm comes out of your soul, liquid comes out of your vagina?
I guess, yeah.
And an angel dies? No.
Angel gets his wings.
And I'm just mean, if you're home alone, you're masturbating, something comes out, right?
Yeah. All right.
All right. That's you.
But it, like, totally soaks the bed.
It's not... Molly, you're not the only one. It happens.
And A, B, C, D,
no, I don't get that. No. I don't get that.
Little girl voice.
Do you guys know if there's any way that you can, like, control, like, is... Like a...
If this is female orgasmic incontinence and this is urine, there are exercises you can do. But otherwise, it's just you. It's just your glandular output from that area. And most guys would sort of appreciate evidence of their labor.
Yeah.
You know, the
it's one thing to know you graduated. It's another thing for them to hand you a diploma.
That's right. Guys like
that
very tangible evidence of their work.
That is a just spray of diploma right in the face. All right.
Don't worry. It's fine. Don't feel bad about it.
You have a boyfriend, right?
I did. We broke up.
Oh. But he was fine with it, right?
Yeah, but now it's like if I'm with other guys for the first time, it's like...
Just warn them and, you know, put the raincoat on. They'll be fine.
Warn them.
They'll be fine.
What do you warn them?
How do you say that?
What do you warn them?
What, you're having sex with them. If you're able to do that... Just
in the middle of it, you warn them?
Listen, you think... Is the guy going to stop right then?
Sometimes it's like a shooting spray.
Maybe you're trying to ward off predators or something. Drew, let's really examine this. Why would a woman...
Like some sort of like a cobra?
Biologically. Yeah, why would you do this?
Blinding your
so you can make an escape.
How many prank calls do you get on this show?
This is not prank.
Oh, we get plenty.
You can tell when they're pranked. This isn't one of them.
What was the alphabet thing?
That was them in the other room alerting us to the quality of her voice. So we can tell... Sort of what kind of traumas people... We listen to voices all night, and we can hear in their vocal qualities and what they evoke in us, what kind of traumas they've been through.
Well, and the alphabet girl was like 22.
Yeah, she was like 28 or something.
And she'd been molested, so...
She arrested a little... I get it.
She arrested.
I told her to say the alphabet.
Your engineers threw us for a loop.
Yeah.
And the arrest is she arrested in development, which is about four, and I or two, and I picked it. Remember, I had two sexual abuse at two, and pow.
No, you didn't pick anything. I told her to do the alphabet.
And you told her to do the alphabet.
Thank you. And listen, Anderson's going nuts over there because he's a huge film freak.
A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
And she got to relax over there.
So I'm screwed up because I'm a Scrubs fan.
That's right.
Anderson screwed up because he's
I'm the only one.
You're holding it together.
What's your fatal flaw?
My Achilles heel is...
No, your fatal flaw.
Oh, my fatal flaw. I don't have one.
You sure you do?
Huh.
Always got
we'll find
let's
it
work
by
on
midnight.
It. You guys work on it. Well, yeah, you can tell me. I should be able to tell you.
What goes into a fatal flaw?
Yeah.
Is it sort of like a Oedipal kind of flaw? Some sort of... Tragic
I don't know.
Flaw.
We could arrive at a definition before the end of the show.
Yeah, we have a couple hours to work on.
Well, let's do it during a commercial. Let's go. Nikki?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yes.
Nikki the girl?
Yeah.
All right. What's up?
I don't know what it is. I think it might have something to do with, like, when I was raped or whatever, when I was a child, young little person.
Mm-hmm. You were sexually abused growing up?
Yeah.
All right, what happened?
I'd push away from sex.
Well, that sort of makes intuitive sense, doesn't it? That if something traumatic happened to you around sex, that it might be unpleasant for you to be sexual, right?
Yeah.
In fact, that's not the way most people are with that. They become hypersexual and sort of try to, they're wiring, they either go completely negative on sex or they become depriving of themselves, or they become very compulsively involved with sex, or they go back and forth between the two.
Well, when did this happen, the abuse?
Between the ages of 2 and 5.
Who did it?
My cousin and a friend of a friend.
These were children?
Say, older cousin?
Children or adults?
Adults.
No. Are they around still?
My cousin is, but he's like one of my best friends now.
Oh,
the other guy's in jail.
Wait a minute. Why is the guy your best friend now?
I don't know. We just...
You got abuse in common, or what do you guys talk about?
Have you discussed that with him, what happened to you, what he did to you?
No, not really, because...
Not exactly the healthiest thing to be around perpetrators.
Well, is your cousin much older than you, or...
Mm-hmm. He's like 26 or 27.
So the cousin that... sexually abused you, who's 11 years older than you are now, is like your best friend?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem strange to you?
Are you still having sex with him?
No.
Well, it's not the world's weirdest question, Nikki. Dare you, Drew?
I guess in view of her not having sex with anybody now. What can we do to help? What's your question?
Why does he want to hang out with you? He's 26. He wants to hang out with a 15-year-old. He's not getting any off of? I mean, I know it sounds sick, but this guy's got a rich history of doing this, you know? What's he doing? All right.
What's your question, Nikki?
I was wondering if maybe that might have something to do with why I push away from my boyfriend.
Yes, absolutely. We'll make it very difficult for you to have intimacy. That kind of trauma changes the wiring in your brain. It will make it very difficult to have interpersonal experiences that are close.
So, Nikki,
yeah.
Let me lay out the next few years of your life, all right?
All right.
You need to not get pregnant. Get some therapy, some counseling for all this abuse. Don't be afraid to hate the people that did this to you. Meaning, don't hang out with your cousin. I don't trust your parents either because they let all this crap go down and they decided to live in Florida. There's nothing but troublemakers going over there. When I'm in charge, I make Florida a penal colony. Fence the whole place off. Oh, yes. And thirdly... Get a job and fight to keep it. Yeah, you're not heading for college, right?
No.
No, you're not a good student?
No.
Are you still going to school?
Yeah.
They have schools in Florida?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you going to graduate, you think?
Maybe.
How about picking a trade like nursing or something like that, something you can focus on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't get pregnant. Okay.
Mm.
I'm just saying...
I thought in that hesitation is I already have a kid.
Really? I don't know.
Or is she pregnant now or something? Just check.
Nikki?
What?
You're not pregnant now, are you?
No.
Okay.
You don't have any kids?
No.
All right. Sorry we disturbed you at the house. All right. But listen. Listen, baby. You're angry because all the stuff that went down. You got to get some counseling, okay?
All right.
Come on, Nikki. All right. Just don't get pregnant.
Pick one, James. Go ahead.
All right.
James,
this is
one.
Great. You see what's going on in this country of ours?
Yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah, well, I mean, what are you supposed to do with Nikki? She was, you know, abused horribly. Now she's got she's angry. She's got 1,000 feelings running around in her head. She's not going to get any counseling. What are you going
to
do?
How is she supposed to execute the your command of getting counseling in Florida?
It's really hard.
If it's a penal colony.
Sometimes we 12-step is a way to do it. Free. Go to 12-step meeting. That's people get that kind of thing. In terms of something like Nikki, more individual counseling would work. And
I know,
hard.
But how's she going to get it?
It's really hard.
And who's going to pay for
there
it?
You.
Yeah. She needs. Well, here's what
the
someone.
Schools will offer some.
What someone like Nikki needs to do is sort of throw herself on the mercy of the system a little bit. I mean, she needs to go to school. She needs to go to her counselor. She needs to say, listen, I was victimized.
But school is nothing but frustrating for her.
It's not going to work.
You're absolutely right. That's what he's saying. What are we doing this
time? I'm saying it's not going to work either. I'm just saying.
The only good thing
no
about
good answer.
The best thing about Nikki is her name wasn't Nate, because then she'd be violent and be truant, and we'd have a bigger problem on our hands.
Yeah, but
what do you mean?
Nikki.
The females turn out with personality disorders and take it out of themselves more than anything, and on their relationships. Men become violent.
Oh, you know what movie I can recommend to you guys? A documentary I saw the other day called Stevie. Did you see this documentary?
No.
The guy who did Hoop Dreams, the Chicago filmmaker, goes back and wants to revisit this kid who he was mentoring for.
Yeah.
And so he goes back, and in completely coincidentally, the period of time that he goes back to visit this kid who he was a mentor for when he was this beautiful little boy, now is this, 16, 17-year-old young man.
Yeah.
And crazy things ensue while he's there, and it's absolutely stunning, and it fits right into like the framework of what we're talking about. This kid, he has zero upside.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, the kid ended up raped somebody or allegedly, or
his
was
cousin.
A little bit of a sling blade thing going on, but.
But it's even more tragic than
Sling Blade. Well, but this is what kills us on this show, is that the kids who are being abused, who our hearts are breaking for, become the abusers and the violent victimizers.
That's what happens in Stevie.
Happens in everyone. That's the way humans work. And how do we reconcile that as a society? How do we deal with that?
How do we?
The first thing we need to do, and this is when I'm in charge, is...
And Adam's going to strafe parts of the country.
King Adam?
Well, I got the weed but not seed program. I just want a weed.
John, be careful. Emperor Adam. Emperor.
Oh, Emperor. Sorry.
I'll make a note of that.
Note to self.
We're getting closer to the fatal flaw.
Here's the thing.
Here we are.
The people in charge of this country, the politicians don't give a rat's ass about this problem. It doesn't win any
votes.
Because
it doesn't vote.
Doesn't win votes.
It doesn't vote, and it doesn't win any votes. Let's throw some money at some screwed-up teenagers. Doesn't really win any votes.
No, that becomes welfare state stuff that people freak out about.
I've said many times that every problem we have in this country of ours, whether it be unemployment or domestic violence or prison overcrowding or crime, anything, all of it, all stems from screwed up kids turning into screwed up adults and screwing up other people.
No, screwed up people having screwed up kids.
Yes. So the first thing we need to do as a society is focus on who the potential people who are going to get into trouble are. Meaning, if you got some 14, 15-year-old girl and her dad sexually abused her and he moved to Florida and left her with her mom to be raised, you go find that you find that girl and you start getting her on birth control, you start getting her on counseling. She's going to crank out some kids early, and those kids are going to be the next wave.
Well, the frustrating part of all this is that, I mean, on a political level, is that it would be incredibly cost-effective for the country in every way to try and get to these things early.
Absolutely.
And to get to them later.
Sure.
Before there's a trail of...
What's Norplant cost as opposed to a life
as opposed
of
to a life
welfare
in prison for the perpetrator and the victims and the damages.
And the three kids that they pop out. Let's go to a commercial and continue this discussion. Come on.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. John C. McGinley is here tonight. He is from Scrubs, NBC Thursday nights, 8:30. Drew's favorite show.
Favorite.
And James Mangold is here as well. He's a writer.
It's my favorite show because it captures... Let me talk about James in a second. Let me finish my thought about John.
You can call me Jim, too, by the way.
You want to finish your thought?
He has to start it.
You started it. Drew, what are you talking about? good.
That it captures the feeling of being a medical resident like nothing I've ever seen.
That being Scrubs you're talking
Scrubs
about.
Scrubs I'm talking about. Now, Identity, the film that James wrote and directed, different thing.
Totally different. But good in its own way.
That captures the feeling of a kind of crazy nightmare.
Yeah, I love these I love those kinds of movies where everyone gets brought together. I love that. What was that? Ten Little Indians, Nine Little Indians.
Yeah, Ten Little Indians. That's and then There Were None was a really good movie made from that Agatha Christie story. But we've got elements of that going on, and then we kind of take it out of the, you know, it starts like it could be,
right,
one of them, and then it's. It gets a little bigger than Colonel Mustard in the library with a candlestick.
Say, and it takes place in a motel in Nevada.
Yeah, a seedy motel in the middle of Nowheresville in Nevada, in the middle of a horrible storm. And we were making the movie. I mean,
where'd you film it?
Mostly on a stage. We built this entire motel, 14 rooms, a swimming pool, a parking lot, a tavern, all indoors with deserts around.
And rain is a character in the movie.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, huge rain.
That's why everybody's trapped here. And so on action for 3 months. The heavens opened up, and the production created rain.
Inside the soundstage.
Yeah, we would show up at 7 every morning. I mean, it was actually a filmmaker's fantasy. You show up, you go in these doors. It's the soundstage where they shot the Emerald City for the Wizard of Oz. Yeah, and we would walk into the stage, and there would be this. It would look like you're outdoors at night. The second you walk in, we set up the shot, first shot for the day. We start rolling cameras. Someone turns on the spigots. This is, you're talking about a football field size.
Oh, so it's where they did the Spider-Man stuff, right?
Yeah.
The big, huge one
and
over
it's
there.
Just huge. And it's just, where you, and it's where just you, rain, where you come as in. Far as you can see, starts pouring down. And I'm sitting in this little chair with a guy named Russell next to me who's an electrician, and every time I wave my left hand, he presses a button that causes lightning.
Wow.
So I'm having a very Adam experience.
Like Zeus.
Yeah. No, it was intense.
But you know what's great for actors sometimes, when there's extreme weather, or you're on nights, or it's really cold, or whatever extreme weather or external thing is that actors kind of check their eccentricities at the door, that cavalcade of tics that they created in rehearsal, you know, at home. All of a sudden, wet. Sub-zero temperatures and dark and fatigue, all of a sudden actors just start walking up to their marks, saying the lines, and moving on with the narrative. Mm. And it's great, and it makes it much cleaner.
More real, yeah.
It makes, of course. Yeah. The opposite of that is dinner scenes,
when
actors won't say the line until they've swallowed the food.
Right.
We all talk with food in our mouths.
All the time.
Come on.
Get on with it.
So the majority of this film is just pouring rain.
Well,
right?
I'd say 98% of this movie is pouring rain night, except for dawn when it's ending. The reality is that's like when we were talking about those movies in the last half hour, The Thing and Alien, and they're all single location movies. The others,
Right Until Dark.
These are one of the things that makes it really. What made this movie really attractive to me and the story really attractive is the challenge of making a really cinematic, really huge, adventurous movie, but it never leaves one place.
Is it over one night?
Yeah. One night, one storm, one place.
Wow.
10 right. people, diminishing fast.
Coming to theaters this Friday. I'm going to see that.
Yeah, I want to see this.
No, it's really exciting.
Michael?
Caller. From
Michael. Caller goes by the name of Michael? All right. Sometimes they forget their fake names. Diana?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yes, that's right.
What's up?
Well, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
And I would like to say you guys are intelligent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My question is, I'm 16, and my boyfriend is 25.
25?
Yes.
That's great.
He's in the military.
Right.
And when he's from Texas.
We can't criticize him, though.
Right.
He's from Texas, and when he was 21, he already had a child with a 15-year-old.
Nice. And
he had a 15-year-old girl pregnant.
Sounds like a delight.
Yeah, sounds like a pattern.
Does he have an older brother for my sister? I'd like to hook these two up.
Where is that girl now?
That girl, she still has her baby, and she's in Texas still.
All right.
She's 21.
Is he taking care of that child?
He's not.
All right.
He moved down here because he was sent down here.
Aren't you concerned that the same thing is going to happen to your child?
Yeah. See, my question is that either he wants to have a kid with me just to be with me, or is it because he has a thing to
give
me?
Does he want to have a kid with you?
Yeah, he does.
Are you having sex with him already?
No, not yet.
Maybe this guy will get hit by some friendly fire or something. We'll all just dodge a bullet.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
That's a little rough.
This guy's a colossal a-hole. Well, the guy knocks up a 15-year-old in Texas and then, transfers out to San Diego. Now he's got a 16-year-old. He's 25 years old. Once he gets you pregnant.
Yeah. Well, and then I'm real sensitive to men from my childhood.
Yeah.
So I'll do anything to please a guy.
Yeah.
What happened? Really... Your dad was an alcoholic or something?
No. At the age of 7, my father tried to kill me.
All right.
Like, actually, I woke up with a knife to my throat.
He wasn't drunk?
No, he just was, he was sober.
He wasn't a drug addict?
He wasn't no drug addict, nothing. He just...
Well, you're 7, you don't know.
He used pills to control his temper.
He used pills to control his temper?
Yeah.
Look at drug addict. Well,
that's drug addiction. That's a drug addiction.
Okay. He tried to... Why didn't he kill you? I mean, not that he should have, but I'm just saying he had a...
What stopped him?
He didn't do it.
I don't know. He negotiated with my mom or something like that. Okay. I was little. My memory of my childhood is a blur.
Okay, so a lot of chaos in the past, a lot of trouble with dad. Now you get hooked up with a guy who's not the world's greatest guy, and you're getting ready to crank out a kid.
Your whole experience of yourself becomes about trying to keep big, older people pieced together and happy, lest they should run out of control, lest they should become dangerous to you. And those are the people you focus on or attracted to and care about, and the only way you feel good about yourself is when they give you that trickle of positive reinforcement for kind of keeping them happy and peace together. Those aren't relationships, Diana.
You're
16.
You're 16. What, you want to get pregnant at 16?
No, I don't.
Good.
All right, forget it. Get rid of this guy. Stop. Stop it.
Yeah, and the guy's a criminal.
Stop it.
I mean, you're a minor.
Yeah,
you're in California.
Stop it.
I read about it. I looked it up in the law book.
Just stop it. Stop it.
Can you break up with him? Can you? Do you want to break up with him?
I think I am. Right. He's been acting strange.
All right, stop it. Just stop it. Listen, go to one thing you can do for free for yourself is go to some Alateen meetings. And I think you'll begin to become aware that your dad probably was an alcoholic or addict. And there are things you can do in the context of those group experiences at Alateen that can really help you.
All right. Thanks, Pops.
There you go.
Nice work.
Yeah. That wrapped it up nicely, huh?
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about her dad.
Oh, yeah.
Just great. Just grew up your kid beyond repair and then let him out on
society. She didn't become a stripper. It's good.
Well, maybe she's heavy. Let's see. Diana?
Yes?
Do you do any stripping?
No.
She's 16, Drew.
I was 16.
Are you thinking about getting into stripping?
No, I have very much respect for myself.
Good, good. So listen to Dr. Drew.
Okay.
Go to that Alateen. All right?
Okay.
And have a good life.
All right, Diana.
All right, stay in school. Find Jesus Christ. Take a multivitamin. All right, that'll cure it. All right,
She sounds very smart.
She did. But keep in mind, she's someone who's 16 who's probably had to be an adult for about 10 years.
No, but she's like turning the book. She's reading. She's trying to figure things out. I mean, she's got. There's a lot of. There's something to be capitalized on there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's. Can we talk to some dude who got his nuts caught in a blender or something, Drew? I can't
Isn't
talk to any
more
screwed
seven?
Up chicks.
Nuts caught in blender.
Huh? Yeah, talk to Julie. Julie.
Yeah.
Anyone abuse you in the last 10 minutes?
Not that I know of.
Good. What's your question?
Okay, when I was about 7 or 8, my mom would have sex in front of me.
It's been 7 or 8 years since she's been abused. Yeah, okay.
Your mom would have sex in the same room that you were in.
Yeah, and she would just all out in the open, and it really hurt me at that age. And she would hit me in front of her boyfriends and all that. And I was wondering.
This is more like it. Poor John's gonna have a heart attack. It's ironic that he John's in your favorite show, and this is his least favorite show.
Ironically, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, very poetic. Hey, Julie.
Yeah.
Would she come into your room to have sex, or was there only one room?
No, she would do it in the living room.
This is drug addiction too. Was she a heroin addict or something? Your mom.
I don't think so.
Well, she would do it in the living room, and you were in the living room.
Yeah.
But there were other rooms?
There were other rooms, but it's something that, you could hear, even if I did go out in the other room, and I told her that it bothered me at that age, and she would just hit me and tell me no, whatever, I don't care.
Right.
So, no doubt she was exposed to something like that, too.
So where is your mom now?
She's, like, in Michigan.
In Michigan?
Yeah, I don't even talk to her.
And who are you living with?
I live with my father.
Father. Is he an okay guy?
Where's my bourbon?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is.
He was smart enough to divorce her, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now you're doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, but it's tough with your mom. When's the last time you saw her?
Last year.
So you see her once in a while?
Yeah, I see her every once in a while.
You able to have relationships?
Our relationship was really...
No, I mean with boys or...
Yeah.
Oh, my mom or...
No, you.
Oh, no.
You can't have relationships?
No.
You don't like guys?
No, it's not my main interest right now.
All right, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, take it slow. You like girls?
No.
Yeah, me neither. So, you're doing all right. Living with your dad?
Yeah.
Your dad's not having any sex in front of you, right?
No.
All right. You focus on other things.
Yeah.
Be careful with your choices in relationships. You'll be attracted to people that are sort of exciting.
Yeah, that was my question. I mean, would I turn out that way?
No, I don't think you will, but you will still be kind of attracted to very, very exciting kinds of people. And try to date guys that are kind of boring. That'd be my advice.
If I saw my mom getting it on, I would take an oar and go upside. I'd go upside her head, and then I'd take the oar to myself.
No question.
That would be my plan. Yeah, that would be very difficult. All right, let's take ourselves a little break.
What's
Drew,
that movie again?
When we come back, who are we gonna speak to?
Everett, who wants to know from John how it was working with John Candy in Wagons East.
Oh, yeah. His last movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he had some great stories about that.
Wow. All right. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Speaking of Academy Award-winning actors, who's in? Oh, wait a minute, who's in tomorrow night?
Dominic Purcell.
Oh, from John Doe.
And then Jake Busey comes in.
Oh, that's the Academy Award I'm talking about. John C. McGinley's here tonight from Scrubs, and that's NBC Thursday nights 8:30. He's also from Identity, and James Mangold is here. He wrote and directed. I got to get in a movie. James, come on, buddy. What's it gonna take?
Next break, we'll talk about
Throw me into something. I know how the business works.
Adam, in a perfect world, who would you be in the Adam movie?
I'd like to play myself.
Emperor Adam.
It's Emperor Adam.
Well, I just want to walk on the set of Scrubs. That's my request.
Yeah, Drew wants to go. Drew, just run through Scrubs. He'll be so happy.
That's done. That can just be taken care
that's
of.
Right. That's
yeah. And James, next request. Put me in your next joint, would you? Come on, buddy. I've done a few films. I could cut out all of them. It's not because of my ability.
No, I'm sure it's...
No, it's, you know. And then some don't go to...
You're not getting the A material.
Not getting the A material. That's right. I want you to give me the A material, James.
I'll think about it.
All right. I'll show you. Watch. You want to see some range?
Oh, jeez.
True. Ready?
No.
Okay. You ready?
Don't get into it. Okay. Well, don't bring that up.
Yeah. Just,
dude.
Man. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Dude.
And action.
Dude, when you act this way, it's like I don't even know you. Huh?
That was good.
That
but
was
it was
good,
just a
right?
moment. I need more than that.
We'll pull our Dawson's Creek episode out.
That would be good. Yeah, that would be good.
We were the whole episode around us.
It's on my reel. It's on my reel.
Katie Holmes?
Everett?
Dude!
Everett.
What's up?
Hey. What's up? You're 26.
How you doing?
Good.
I just want to tell you guys, your show is pretty cool.
Well, thank you, Everett.
Thanks.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty out there.
Oh, and yeah, Everett had the question about doing Wagons East.
Yeah. I was wondering how it was to work with John Candy in his, like, final days of him being fat and stuff.
Being fat?
I think he was being alive.
Being alive.
He was alive.
Oh, yeah, alive, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everett's clearly a jack-off, so I'm gonna put him on hold, but you can tell us, John.
John Candy was this, you know, this unbelievably delicious guy who was in the process of doing a couple of different things. He was trying to move the Toronto Argonauts into the NFL. He was obsessed with that. He was going back and forth.
Seriously?
Yeah. We were in Durango, Mexico, which if you've never been there, and there's no need for you to ever go there, It's what Alec Guinness calls the place where he meets up with Harrison Ford in the first Star Wars, Los Isles Spaceport. He calls it the epicenter of vim and villainy. That's what Durango, Mexico is.
Wow.
And we were there for 4 months. And John died a couple of months into it. And he was just like this unbelievably generous guy. He was the only guy allowed to leave because they had us down there and there was really no shooting schedule or anything. And so everybody just showed up every day and we just kind of burned film.
Did he direct it or did he write it or did he do anything or was just an actor in it?
Matthew, what was your producer's name, writer?
I don't remember.
Matthew Carlson, wasn't he involved in that project?
I'm afraid I don't remember.
I think so.
But John was
well, you knew these
John owed somebody a movie with Rick Moranis, and unfortunately Rick's wife got sick at the last second, and Rick was replaced by Richard Lewis, and then we were down there, and John about halfway into it dropped dead.
Was he there when he dropped dead?
Yeah, we had worked till about 3 a.m. the night before, and there was a forced call, and he didn't show up, and so the driver went to his house, and he was dead.
Died in his sleep.
Yeah. Although, Doctor, somebody told me you can't die in your sleep. You, in fact, when you have cardiac arrest, you wake up.
Well, the pain might wake you up, but you could have a sudden rhythm disturbance and you would never wake up. No, you can die in your sleep.
I mean, in bed, really.
There are changes in hormones and blood flow around 4A, which can predispose a heart attack, and so that's why a lot of overnight, you know, people dying in their sleep at 4 a.m. is when that happens.
That's why I always get up and take a leak.
That's good.
Right there, 4A.
This guy was the greatest.
He was the greatest. Once in a while, you turn on the TV and there he is, an Uncle Buck or something, and you just kind of look at the guy.
Uncle Buck's an underrated film.
Yeah, you go. I miss this guy.
Yeah.
Like there's a handful of guys that could go away, and I'd be all right with that.
No, this guy was a real guy's guy. He was unbelievable.
I know it was
give.
It was a great, and he was really funny, and he had a great presence, and even if he was doing some stinker movie, he was still good in it, and it was always fun to watch him. And he kind of, you know, he kind of went away, and it was the kind of thing where not enough was made of it, in my book.
Well, because while we were down there, you guys had the earthquake up here.
Oh, really?
It was right then. Was that?
91?
94.
Oh, 94.
I beg your pardon.
Yes. Right. So the earthquake
kind of upstaged everything.
Buried the story.
That was John falling off the bed.
Okay. We were down there, and we'd see the pictures up here with the freeways falling down and stuff, and it was just like it. Of course, on CNN, they only show the most dramatic stuff, so it literally looked like Los Angeles was going away.
It had to be kind of depressing finishing the film.
It was massively depressing.
The lead passing away. I mean,
it was.
Did you shoot the next day, or did you take a couple days off?
Took 2 days off and shot 48 hours later.
Oof. And you're doing a comedy?
Yeah, and it wasn't that funny.
And John Candy's not wrapped. I mean, you got to sort of work around his
absence.
So
they did some their early generation computer-generated stuff where they cut him out of frames earlier in the movie and put it in him entering and leaving.
How far through the schedule were you?
Halfway.
Ugh. It's amazing they finished it.
Yeah.
All right.
Best guy.
All right. Well, now I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Adrian?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Yes, I masturbated earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And it came out green, like darkish green. And I was wondering if, like, I could have anything. Well, earlier today I was also skateboarding and I ended up, like, really racking myself hard.
On the nutsack?
Yep.
Yeah, you guys who try to skate those rails, you know, when going down the railing?
Yeah.
Seems like you're asking for nut troubles there. Really? Anytime you're straddling and moving at a high rate of speed, straddling resting is tough enough, but straddling and moving 20 miles an hour during the straddling process seems like trouble.
Dangerous. Let's get off the straddling and back to the green here for a second. Were you sure it wasn't yellow or brown?
Yeah, I'm sure. It was dark green.
Dark green.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, like a little bit of it or a whole lot of it?
Well, it wasn't a lot of it, but, you know, there was still, like, some on the end of my hand, you know?
Because, I got a theory here, Drew.
Because you can get blood, and the blood can look greenish, like a light green or yellow and brown.
A pine tree green?
Or a light green?
This happened to me once.
You know, let me
float a theory here, Adrian. Did you mop up with a green tube sock?
Nah.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah, that's a dye.
Yes, I panicked, and then I peeled it off, and then I realized that.
You did another one.
I did the math. I did another one. Sure, I had to just make sure.
Yeah, testing.
Yeah, the third probably wasn't necessary, but...
That's when the
your man of science.
That's when the flag came out and said, bang.
It's the New York jet tube sock theory.
Right.
Adrian, I would get this checked out. I suspect it's bleeding. I worry about things like, you know, rectovesicular fistulas and things. And things can open up between your rectum and your bladder, believe it or not.
Yeah, but it's not usually
that's
green.
That's usually cause air and not brown.
But any color is either blood or an infection, right? Wouldn't green be an infection?
Most typically be blood or infection, yes. You're not sexually active, is that right?
That's right.
All right. So, all right.
Yeah.
This may be a bogus call, too.
Yeah.
Adrian?
I think we don't believe you.
No, seriously, I'm
all
fine.
Right. Okay, they got it checked out.
All right. If this is a bogus call, may your nuts grind on 1,000 stair rails, all right?
Okay.
All right, good times. Yeah, go to the doctor.
All right.
Good times.
Well,
Identity's the movie.
Yeah, Identity.
Here we go.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. John C. McGinley is here tonight. He is the star of Scrubs, which is Thursday nights on NBC. 8:30, Drew's favorite show, and also James Mangold is here. James, put down that horrible paperwork, please.
All right.
Drew bothers
Adam
all
has
the guests.
Intense. It's not really ADD. It's something like far worse. But if there's anything, if there's a fly in the room, he's gone.
It throws you off.
That's his fatal flaw. That's it.
You need eye contact.
No. He needs focus.
No. Drew gives this paperwork to all the guests to fill out for a scientific study, which is fine, but they feel like they have to fill it out all at once, and it runs into the break. Drew, you have to
apologize.
You have to tell. No, you don't have to apologize. You just have to tell them, fill out half now and do half later. Huh. That's all.
I
got to kiss some James' ass. I got to get one of these films.
You got to get one of these A-quality scripts.
I need some A scripts.
You need some good material.
Jim's doing a film about Johnny Cash next.
You are?
No kidding.
Yeah.
I could do that. What do you want?
You're a Memphis type?
Yeah, sure. Listen to me. They all have a deviated septum over there.
It's the romance and culture that comes out of growing up in North Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a culturally rich environment, North Hollywood.
That's where we are. We're in the North Hollywood Hospital.
Oh, yeah. I lived for 5 years in North Hollywood.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Burbank and Cahuenga.
No, I was
Colfax, right by the liquor, Circus
Magnolia.
Liquor.
Oh, Circus. Sell keg liquor over there. Beautiful part of town.
You got your pony kegs there?
Got the Anawalt Lumber next door.
In fact, we shot the title sequence to Identity in a little building directly across from Circus Liquor.
Where is that?
I'd say any liquor store's got a huge neon clown out front that says, beer by the keg. It just beckons you.
It's one of the great sights, I mean, you can, of the valley. I mean, is that a sign?
Yeah. No,
nothing for miles but Circus Liquor.
Here's the thing. Now we really got to do. We got to do a project together because you know
we've bonded.
We got the North Hollywood connection.
Maybe the way he shakes the clown too.
Yeah. No.
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 No. He needs the A material.
Okay. A material. Rob.
Yeah.
You're 22.
Saw Shakes the Clown.
You did.
Sleeper classic.
Yeah. No. I like Bobcat's good. Yeah. What's up there, Rob?
Hey. Last summer, I met. This girl, she was Hawaiian, Chinese, and Filipino, which is probably, she's Asian, so I don't know if that's good news or bad news in my case.
Hawaiian,
I didn't know
Chinese
at the time.
Chinese and Filipino, yeah, that's just Asian to me, yeah.
Meaning, like, I don't know. Have you guys heard the whole idea on Asians, how they're kind of funky in the head?
No, not heard that, Rob.
You haven't? Okay, well, anyways.
They're crazy breed, yeah, I'll agree with that.
I found out this the hard way. So,
number one?
Yeah, that's Minka, the number one Asian big boob queen. But listen, all chicks are a little nutty.
Well, I move in with her, and about 3 months ago, she's kind of a little bit on the abusive side, like throwing coffee cups and kind of smacking me, but I never hit her at all because I don't hit chicks.
Right.
So I move out because it's getting a little too hairy for me.
Right.
And basically, ever since then, I'm not even lying to you guys, every single day she will call my house or my cell phone, literally about anywhere. The lowest I've had is probably about 10. The highest, I'm not lying to you guys, is 120 calls.
120 calls. Well, the Asians have small fingers and they can dial quickly. That's one thing I know about that.
Rob, what is the question?
Well, my question is, basically, it's driving me crazy. I mean, this is...
You're not living with her anymore, is that correct?
No. I moved out about three months ago.
You're broken up.
Why not change your number?
Change numbers, get a restraining order.
I'm studying to become a cop, and I can't... She's told me, and she actually has a restraining order against her by her ex-boyfriend.
All right, you're studying to become a cop. What does she want from you? What is it? What is her motive? Is it just you're so hot she can't let go?
No. She's pregnant.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's by me or by someone else because she was an escort while we were dating.
Why would you not say that?
Yeah.
Pretty classic borderline behavior.
That's not the smartest.
I mean, the girl interrupted. I don't know if you saw any of this kind of stuff, but this is a pretty classic borderline stuff where they cannot tolerate abandonment. It's what sets up psychotic stalking many times.
Well, yeah, but if she's pregnant and thinks it might be his child, I mean, that might be a reason to be a little more aggressive in trying to have some kind of closure with him, or she should just accept that he's...
Remember, she was a prostitute when he was with her, and so...
Well, I don't think to my knowledge, she was not having sex with the guys that she... her clients.
Right.
But she was an escort.
More like a masseuse.
She was having sex.
Usually they'd go out, but... More like a masseuse, but I mean, it wasn't like on a table though. It was like at her. It was weird. This is why I left. It was at her house or her apartment or where we were staying.
Yeah.
She didn't have a table. She'd do it on the bed, but she'd just change all the sheets.
And you were living at this place?
Yeah, but I mean, I'd leave. You know, while I'm at work or, you know, she had a client, I'd bail for like an hour or something.
Sure. No, I'm the same way with my wife. Guy's coming in from a businessman. She's got to give him a blowjob. I'll go out, blow butt on the porch. I do a little knock. In. Honey, did he come yet? Nah, please. You're adding time to it. That's her thing, you know. They just added 5 minutes. So I just hang out there.
I mean, this is why I left, because of all this.
Yeah, we understand that.
Change your phone number then.
Do you respond to her calls?
No, I don't.
And not all, you know,
I live with my parents now. She'll call my house and my mom will answer the phone because my mom kind of thinks if it's my kid, my mom's going to, like, she's all about the child. You know what I mean?
Right. That's
all right.
Good.
Well, when is she due to have this child?
Supposedly about August.
About August.
And now I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I mean,
all right. Well, here's what you have to do. You can't do anything until she has a child, and then you have to get a paternity test.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then if it is your child... Then you got to call us again.
It sounds
hopefully
like
I won't be here.
You're going to need.
I'll be doing a film with James.
Sounds like you're going to need an attorney to sort this out. I got to tell you, both to get the restraining orders, to get some advice, to figure out how to manage that relationship, and take care of the child if that's in fact your child, and get yourself extracted from the relationship if it's not.
I'm wondering if I should go, should I go for full custody if it's my child? Because she doesn't seem like someone who...
That would be a noble and appropriate thing to do for the child. I think that'd be a great thing.
All right.
Sounds like.
All right, Rob. Hey, listen, our heart goes out to you, but when you start screwing around with nutty broads, this is what potentially can happen.
Well, I just have one more quick question. When I go out with my friends, sometimes I find myself like...
Mason jar.
Like, I'm like, oh, you know what, tonight I'm just going to, you know, I find myself wanting to drink a whole bunch just to, like, forget about things, finding an escape.
Yeah.
But then I don't.
All right.
I'm not an alcoholic or anything, but I keep trying to find, like, escapes just to get away from all this madness.
Well, that's understandable, but.
Yeah, go to the gym.
Do something productive. Addiction gets started with people needing to regulate feeling states through escape. And watch out. If you have that gene, you're not aware of it, it might get activated at a time like this. You're studying to be a cop. You know better than doing that stuff.
Really? All right. I had a step cousin who was in the military, and he went to, Korea, and he hooked up with a chick named Mitsuk, and he brought her back, and they got married, and they cranked out a few kids, and then she brought her mom over, and they started all living together, and then she, like, started hooking.
Oh, my God.
And the whole thing just went south. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good times. That's good times. Yeah. I'll try not to keep in touch. Joe?
Yeah?
Oh, and the guy's a cop, too.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Never told you about that.
No.
Yeah. Joe?
Yeah?
You're 15?
I thought the Corollas were really boring.
They are. They are. The Corollas, we sit around and wait for the Grim Reaper. That's the policy of the Corollas. But this guy's like a step outside of the family.
No biological connection here.
No biological connection. So he's allowed to leave the house and have sex with Asians. Mm-hmm. Joe, if he's a true Corolla, he'd just be sitting at home complaining about the welfare system and why they're not getting enough. Joe?
Yeah?
Go ahead, buddy.
All right, man. I got a question on shrooms.
Yeah.
Mushrooms, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I did that 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
And messed me up pretty good. And I was just wondering, like, what are the negative effects and, like, long-term stuff that can...
It's a hallucinogenic, and any of the hallucinogenic drugs seem to have the potential of damaging brain. Although, I've never actually seen that happen to somebody. And I suspect that's because no one ever does enough mushrooms. You know, they kind of kick the crap out of you, and they're unpleasant to take and difficult to come by. And I don't think people really get into them enough to hurt themselves, at least from what I've seen.
Hey, don't you build, like, a tolerance to them and stuff?
You can get tolerant to it. Tolerant and this means dependency. All hallucinogenics have the potential of some tolerance.
Yeah, it's hard to get dependent on mushrooms.
Yeah, because
I did mushrooms for the first time when I was, like, 19 and announced to the world, although I was pretty high, that this is my new girlfriend now, these mushrooms. I'll be doing this every weekend. And I've done it twice in the last 19 years.
They are neurotoxic, I'm convinced. I just haven't seen a lot of evidence for that.
But it's good times. Did you have a good time, Joe?
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Yeah. Okay. You're 15.
Yeah.
And your brain is much weaker than mine, so you shouldn't be meddling this way with it, all right?
All right.
All right. All right.
Watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about identity again.
Okay. James, you ever do any mushrooms?
I haven't. I've had many people in my life tell me I should, though, but I haven't.
Yeah, it's great.
When anyone describes the experience, I get a little nervous. I get anxious.
Yeah.
No, but just the idea of being kind of... Movie directors like control.
Yeah.
We like control. We have a very nice gig. You know, I come to the set, I get to make a movie, everyone does what I say.
Hell yeah, he's Zeus, for God's sake.
I wave my arm at the lightning. Yeah, it's like, so the idea of being...
Zeus on mushrooms, for God's sake.
Minus control is real scary for me.
Yeah, well, it's definitely it's a weekend thing, you know. You don't want to do it Monday morning.
But it can continue to affect you, though.
But you know what'll happen? What happens with the mushrooms is you're having the grooviest time in the world 1 second, and then the next second, your buddy Ray's coked-up girlfriend is yelling at you in a bathroom. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me? And Ray's banging on the door. What's going on in there? And I'm like, I'm high. Leave me alone. You know what I need? You know what there needs to be? You see a guy and he's wearing a neck brace, and you don't come up and get him in a bear lock or wrestle him. You go, oh, something. Okay, leave this guy alone. I don't know what happened.
You need
like a mushroom windbreaker.
Limp or something.
I just need a cane, something that indicates
a disability.
Just a windbreaker with a huge mushroom on it that you only wear when you're tripping, and people don't come up and freak you out.
That would be nice. That might make me emboldened enough to try.
Yeah. Because I was sitting there with my buddy, the Wheeze. I was having the time of my life. We're watching some nature show. It was the world's greatest thing. And then Ray, my big buddy, came bouncing into the house all coked up and started yelling at everybody. And I was going insane. And the next thing you know, his girlfriend wanted to talk to me in the bathroom. I'm like, what do you want to talk about? I barely know her. And she's like, she's totally coked up. You know, she's like, Ray means so much to me, and you're his friend, and you don't like me. And I'm like, I love everybody. I love everything.
Then it was, oh, my God, she's wearing Lee press-on nails.
Yeah, that was the other crazy
realization. But did you really like her, or were you working against her?
I was like, she was like, I had nothing bad to say about her. I was fine with
that. Because usually when people pin you with that stuff, they're pretty on it.
Mm. Yeah, but when they're high on coke, then it doesn't. Then all bets are off. The other thing I noticed, though, and then Ray was pounding on the door, yelling, "Let me in! What's going on in there?" And I was like, "Let him in!" And she's like, "Ray, get away from the door!" And I was like, 10 seconds ago, I was having I was back into the '60s. I was touring with the Grateful Dead. I was in the greatest time of my life, and now I'm in the '80s, and I'm in some Robert Downey Jr. film from the '80s, and everyone's yelling at me. Mm-hmm. So, but the other thing I realized was I saw Lee press-on nails, and here's James. This is why you need to do mushrooms. creatively.
Lee, press on there.
Here's what it'll do to you. See, we live in a society that has so much going on that we can't really focus or comprehend most. We can't focus on all the crazy rituals that go on in society, otherwise our heads would explode.
Everything becomes sort of white noise.
Everything's white noise. Yeah. You get high on mushrooms, you're a newborn baby. And you're sitting there and you're watching TV, and there's a commercial for Lee Press-On Nails. And it shows some chick, and she's sticking long red things to the ends of her fingers. And it's like, this makes her more attractive to the male species. The female species?
It's like a National Geographic.
Does the red represent blood? And why the length? Why does that give us a boner? And you're just watching this thing, and you go, this is a multi-million-dollar company that manufactures plastic red things that you stick to the end of your fingers, and this is why we like this bitch? And your head's and then rape bursts in with the coke, and everything's out
why
the window.
Why don't you like me?
But it does... It does get you thinking about stuff. Like, normally you'd see the Lee Press-On commercial, you blow right past it. You wouldn't be thinking about it.
See, I'm kind of naturally that way. I'm frightened of what it would do to me, because I'm I can get very Lee Press-On nailed.
Implode.
I could be about a pore by the time
that's
over.
It's mediated by the part of the brain called the amygdala that monitors for novelty.
Huh.
And some people have a propensity to look for novelty and seek novelty. And then pot, mushrooms, intensify novelty. The problem with those drugs is that that part of the brain down-regulates after the pharmacology wears off, and so things that used to seem novel all of a sudden seem flat.
You have a lull. You have a kind of
trough.
Well,
but the lull can be permanent. Like, nothing's interesting. Everything's just a drag.
Hey.
Well, in a way, you know, what we were trying to do when we made Identity was, in a way, kind of make a... I mean, it is a trip of a movie. I mean, one of the things that was really cool about the movie is, you know, this 10 people in this storm, and, like, what's behind every door you never understand. And there's a very psychological and trippy aspect to the movie.
What is the... You meant referring to that. Give us a hint.
Give you a hint?
Somebody draw them in? I mean, the storm puts them
there. Well, if you've seen the trailer, a lot of people have seen the trailer of the movie. You know, it's Johnny McGinley and John Cusack and Ray Liotta and Amanda Peet, and all these people are drawn in by wherever they're heading in life. They're all carrying a secret, driving through the desert on this night, and there's a horrible storm, and they all pull into this motel and take rooms, and one by one, they start getting murdered. And when I keep alluding to the kind of psychological aspect to it, I can't go too far or else you start to give things away, but it's more than just like a whodunit, and it ain't like, you know, it's a real twisted movie, and
good.
it's a great, I mean, in that sense, it's like, I can't, it's just, it was really, we put a lot of work into kind of making it almost like a bad dream. Almost like a really twisted, really intense, mysterious dream.
Is there a surprise at the end?
There's several.
There's a great twist.
A couple.
Yeah.
And the
Jimmy's one of these filmmakers who clocked all these. You know, he's like a great film historian. He's one of these guys who, as Drew was suggesting, has a penchant for being able to pick out and store novelties, as far as films goes. And so he's a great film historian. And he assimilated all these different, you know, wildly stunning things that happen in different scary movies and thrillers and whatever that genre is.
Will we recognize some of these things?
No, because he reinvented a lot of them.
But you know what? You more than just homages, you'll recognize the attention to detail. When you're talking about Lee Press-On Nails, this is a movie you got to watch really closely, because it's real interactive. There's a lot of clues. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, already having, you know, shown it to audiences quite a bit and kind of gotten feedback from them, one of the really interesting things is people dying to go back once they get to the end of this journey to kind of trace. And what's amazing about the film, and I could say this with utter comfort, is once you get to the end and know and understand it, it's like you go back 20 seconds into the movie. I mean, like, you're 20 seconds past the Columbia logo, and it's just sitting there staring at you.
Really?
Where this movie's going.
And even telling us that,
I'm not scared.
We won't see it.
You won't see it. You need it. You need the journey.
Drew, we got to get high on mushrooms.
And go see this film.
Friday night.
Identity.
Buddy. Yeah. Mila?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
We got a weekend plan for us here, you and I.
Yeah, but this better be good, because I swear to Christ, I'll find you, kick you right in the nuts after all this.
I'll only be a couple blocks away. Call me up.
All right. Mila?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
But not if you're going to put me in your next film.
Yeah, the A material. Get back to Mila.
Easy, Adam. Mila?
John.
Yeah. Why does John have to be in every second movie ever made since Wings? And I can't be in anything. I got to be in Frank McCluskey, a CI. It never even comes out. I got to be in that stinking turd. I can't be in something good.
He's got an eye for the A material, Adam.
Mila?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's bogarting maybe, all the maybe, A material.
Here's the thing about Adam. He will not go on an interview. Refuses. He goes, they know who I am. They want me. They can hire me.
Auditions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
You should do that.
Auditions.
That's going to be a little tricky.
He's a director. He can tell you.
He's a director. He can put me in his film.
But would you hire somebody without any auditioning?
No. I've read some great people. I've seen some people you would not think would come in and read, and they come in, and you know what? What makes them great is they so are not frightened of the reading. The people who go, I don't want to read, and then there's people like Angelina Jolie came in and read for me for Girl Interrupted. Mm-hmm. She came in. I was that guy in the Maxell commercial. She sat down in this couch opposite me to read this script, and it's just like that. My hair flew back, my body hit the chair. It's like this force of nature.
Just because her the way she looked, the way she read.
No, the reading, the power she read, and she was so confident in this reading. She goes like they marked like three scenes with her agent. Like, can you come in and read these three scenes? So she reads these three scenes, and then she goes, "You want to keep going?" And I'm like, "Sure." So we read the entire script, every line that this character.
The entire script.
She did the whole thing. She was just like, and to the point where at the end of the movie, she took it where it had to go and was like, it was amazing. And got up and was like, thanks a lot. Bye. Wow. And you were like, wow, that is guts. She walked in. She owned it.
Hmm. Adam, you may have to come in. Period.
You're going to have to come in, Adam.
Well, I'll come in to sign some papers or something. No. Deal.
I'll read with you, but you got to play ball.
All right. Mila?
Yep.
You know, I hate the a-holes who memorize the sides, too. That's an unfair advantage for us who like to hold up in front of our face.
Adam, you don't memorize them when you go out there to do the performance.
That's true. Well, they got cue cards and stuff for that. Mila, you're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. Okay, this is my problem. Basically, every time I drink, I get these, like, weird pains. Like, the only way I can describe them is, like, my glands are really sore, like the glands between like my chest and my armpit.
Do you drinking alcohol? You're talking about?
Yeah, alcoholic beverage.
Have you noticed the glands in your armpits swelling up?
Not really. Like I've tried to. I can't really compare them to anything.
How about in your neck?
Not really in my neck.
How long has this been going on for?
It happened the first time that I drank, and then after that.
How long ago was that?
Like 2 years ago.
What is that?
Well, the fact that it was 2 years ago is sort of reassuring, but pain in lymph nodes after alcohol consumption is a classic sign of Hodgkin's disease.
Really?
And I don't want to freak you out, but it would have presented itself by now, I would think, after 2 years, but you really should.
How does it present itself?
The gland swelling up in the neck and arm and stuff, but you really ought to see a doctor about this, because I know it's a funky symptom and you wouldn't have thought to do it, and hopefully it's nothing, but that's a classic sign of that.
Really?
Do women get Hodgkin's as much as guys do?
I think slightly more. I think
women get slightly more?
Slightly more, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All right, Mila?
Uh-huh.
So get that checked out. Hopefully it'll be nothing.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
How do they do that? How do they check that out?
Find out if they first feel the glands, see if there are big ones and bulky ones, and there you biopsy them.
Well,
she should really go there.
Yeah, it's a classic sign. And it's, you know.
Can she drink in the office?
She can, just to show him how it works?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. John C. McGinley's here tonight. So is James Mangold. Identity is the name of their new film. It is coming out this Friday. And I was intrigued before this, but now I'm...
This movie, I know. I got to see it.
Yeah. I'm excited. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. John C. McGinley is here tonight from Scrubs, Thursday night, NBC, 8:30. John has been in every other movie ever made, and then Jeremy Piven has been in every movie that John has not made. So because of these two guys, none of us have been able to get work. Except for Frank McCluskey, CI, which neither one of them were. And so there was an opening for me, and then it went straight to video. All right. James Mangold is here. He is a writer and director. He's done many, many films himself, and Identity is his latest. Let's, coming out this Friday, by the way, let's talk to Sean, who's 20. Sean?
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
So I had a question for John. My brother, I'm from Seattle, my brother worked on the Leonard Cohen Afterlife, which actually is now Highway.
Right.
Which is an amazing film, and I'm just wondering, like, what happened there? I mean, how come that never, I mean, it never made it mainstream? And I think that, I mean, you were awesome in it. I mean, everybody, Jared Leto, everybody was awesome in that film.
It was a film it's a road movie about these four people who go on a journey together, and it's fueled the whole time by substance abuse. And it came out, it was to be released right about when Columbine and all that stuff was hitting the fan. And it was the guy who ran New Line at the time, Mike DeLuca, it was his baby. And then Mike got fired or left. I don't know what happened. And the guy then who ran New Line named Bob Shea, he went, you know what, the one film I always hated was that one you made about the road trip fueled by substance abuse. I hated that movie. And so he just went straight to video. I lost 60 pounds for that movie and had dreads sewn into my scalp.
Wow.
My brother said that you went through a lot on that film.
And it went straight to video.
Oof.
That killed me.
Well, I saw On Deadly Ground, if it's any...
I mean, well, great. Steven Seagal's only film ever directed. I was with Steven Seagal in Valdez, Alaska, and when I landed at the Valdez airport, I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Welcome to Valdez, where you don't lose your girlfriend, you just lose your turn, so don't get upset about it." And I was like, okay, here we are. the northernmost point of Prince William Sound.
How was Steven Seagal as a director?
I was Michael Caine's sidekick, and so he thought Michael and I
were
a
third
different
guy.
Breed. And so,
if I could get rid of a Jeremy and Michael and
this list,
John,
you know, is growing.
It's growing. No, it's just three guys. You three, mainly. Mainly, I already got rid of Candy. If we get rid of these three, that's it. Now there's my opening. But
how was Steven as a director? Not like Jim at all.
Oh, okay. So but Jim,
I don't have a ponytail.
And Jim you like, right? Jim's
a
good director. All right, so we
great
we had a good time.
We just did the math there. All right. I still enjoyed it. And I like seeing a guy standing up for Eskimos. You know, that's my thing. Let's talk to D, who's 17. D?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, actually, me and this girl, rather not say your name because I know she'd beat me.
Mm-hmm.
But
hold on one second. Another part I don't like in films is where Steven Seagal's in some honky tonk up there in Alaska. So the biggest guy comes up to him, tries to lunge at Steven, does some quick Pai Gow move on him, drops the guy like Ali dropping Sonny Liston, and then some other guy stands up and goes, "Oh, karate man, huh? Well, let's see what you got." It's like, no, that's the point where you sit down and you say, "I never liked the guy who's down," and "Yes, sir," and "No, sir." You don't do that. He just whooped ass on the toughest guy I know. Now I'm going to make fun of him knowing a martial art.
It's nuts.
Yeah, don't leave the martial artist alone and the decorated green braids as well. And what are we talking to, D over here?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up there, D?
Yeah, well, my question is, like, I've just got with this girl recently, and she's got this fetish for constantly...
See, this is a bogus call.
Yeah.
This is a bogus
call. Liar, whore, and you know it!
Yeah. You can tell. This is empty.
The word constantly didn't work for me.
No affect.
She's got this thing where she wants sex, and so far, like, I've only known her before spring break for about almost 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
And we've had sex quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do. I don't know. I mean, it's great and all. Don't get me wrong.
Now he's really lying.
So where's he's just paddling. Just where's he going?
See, this is bad acting, right, James?
Yeah, it is. What are you calling for? You need to know. What's your question? See, if you're going to fake it, you better have an issue that you're going to pursue.
When you're 17, you got a girl who wants to do nothing.
Well, what's your question?
Well, my question is, like, I mean, I don't really have, like, a big problem with it, but it's just, like, she wants it too much, and, I mean, we got school and all, and I can't, like, let's go ditch school and let's go have sex, you know?
So do it after school. What is the deal? Like, what is the question? It's kind of all maybes, kind of, I means.
I don't know what to tell her.
It's a ball buzzer.
I don't want to tell her, no, we can't have sex and all, but...
You just tell her you can't have sex during school hours or...
Yeah, that'll work. Sure. Do that, and then...
I have said that. I have. But she's like, you know, come on, I want it now. But I'm like, no, dude, chill. I mean, we can't do it now. She's like, come on, let's go to your house. I'm like, dude, we can't. You know, I got family.
He's going to start laughing in a second.
Are you sure it's not really a dude? Because it sounds like you're really going to have the horny teenage guy.
For real, nah, it's not a dude.
Okay. Well, maybe she's has a little sexual compulsion. You just keep her in line. Yeah, you don't. You don't have to have sex with the dude chick if you don't want to. Really, guys calling girls a dude. That's. Do you think that goes on in Europe?
No.
No.
No. But it, you know,
maybe parts of Canada,
males
Mexico,
do get a little freaked out when girls are aggressive sexually, particularly when they seem that they can't be satisfied. And if somebody's a true sexual addict, it can be kind of funny. You get sort of you feel sort of off balance because it's a never ending, you know, sort of bottomless need for sex and no way to satisfy them, and then it can feel a little uncomfortable for a young male.
I can see that, so,
but I don't think
he didn't seem to put that fine a head.
No,
on it.
It was all over the place.
All right. Well, anyway, and it wasn't really a problem anyway. Logan, 17-year-old, getting laid too much.
Yeah.
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first of all, you guys were on Crank Acres tonight.
Oh,
we were on Crank Acres.
They aired our episode tonight.
Yeah.
Crank Anchor.
Right. Well, you like it?
Drew, you missed it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh. Resounding endorsement.
Yeah, but about 2 weeks ago.
Why did I think it was on tomorrow night?
I have no idea. Huh. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Remember, okay, Crank Yankers is a show that I produce with couple of my partners. It's on Comedy Central. It's puppets acting out prank phone calls. And it's on Tuesday nights on Comedy Central. Drew and I did a call, and then the puppets were going to act them out on Tuesday night. And a couple of nights ago, or maybe even last night, you said, when's got Crank Yankers on? Wednesday night? And I, as the producer of the show, said, I think it's Tuesday. And you said, no, it's Wednesday.
Right? No, you said, I think, I don't know. And I said, well, somebody told me Wednesday. I think, I don't know.
I said Tuesday. I said the show's on Tuesday nights. You wouldn't listen to me. I said I didn't know after you said it a few times. I figured you knew better than I did.
No, but I said I was told Wednesday.
All right. Well, it was on tonight, and you missed it.
There you go.
So there you go. Damn. But according to Logan, it was just okay. Go ahead, Logan.
Okay, that was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I was passing out this pipe with me and my friends.
Yeah.
And there's this one girl, and she had like this thing on her chin.
Yeah.
And about a couple days ago, people were telling me that she had herpes.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I could get that from that.
Can you get it from the pipe?
Yeah, if the pipe touches the sores.
Was she mashing the pipe into her herpetic chin before she gave it to you to toke off of?
No.
No.
All right, herpetic. That's quite
it. It was on her lip, too.
Oh, it was on her lip, too? Well,
it's like a cold sore.
Yeah, well, that can be passed along.
Okay.
So you'll see. We'll give it 2 weeks, and if you don't have anything, you don't have anything.
Okay, thanks.
All right, buddy. And you know what? Because of your lackluster review of my Crank Yanker program, I have mixed feelings about you getting herpes. I want you to know that.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Little snot-nosed
he took that
teen.
In stride. He was.
Yeah, he can dish it out, but he can take it too.
Well, he's got bigger worries about his herpetic issue than your crank anchor issue. I think it's.
Yeah. All right.
That's Adam's word. I'm just following the lead here.
Mike.
Yeah.
I can ad lib too. You know, I don't need to work the script. You know.
That's why you got to come in.
Well, we can do it over the phone.
See how he's doing this? He's manipulating.
I think we're getting closer to a fatal flaw.
Closer.
I think we're getting closer to some fears here.
Mm.
No, I'll come in. I will come in and audition as long as you can guarantee me in advance. I got the part.
No, you got it. What you got to get to is a position where you don't give it crap.
Right.
An ass.
Right. I'm getting there. Mike?
Then you'll rock.
Yeah, hi.
You're 24.
That's right. I heard James say he was making a movie about Johnny Cash. Just wanted to get some more information about it.
Yeah, well, it's something. I was actually in Nashville about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and hanging out with John and June, and it's something I've been working on for about 5 years, writing with a partner a movie about John's life. He's just someone I've really admired a long time.
Yeah. Who's going to play Johnny Cash?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Wow. Yeah, it's got the kind of the face. Its face.
It's like the 30s to 1968. It doesn't go to now, so it's not. You know, he's not gonna be buried in latex playing.
Up through Live in San Quentin.
You got it. You're clearly a Johnny Cash fan. Yeah, right to the prison concerts. Right when he marries June.
Hear that train a coming, and is people have made TV movies about Johnny Cash, haven't they? Have they made features about him?
No.
Seems like
stuff.
A natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they've not made a movie about his life. And what about doing one about John Holmes? I'd like to see that.
That's actually happening.
Doing it now. The guy who directed the movie that the caller called about earlier up in Leonard Cohen Afterworld. It's called the address where you got shot, like Sugarland, Sugar something.
Wonderland, where the murder went on up there.
Yes.
He didn't get shot, but a bunch of people he knew got shot.
But it effectively tells the story backwards of his life. And Val plays John Holmes.
Val Kilmer plays?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Our conversation's coming full circle here.
Wow.
I'm the big boy.
Remember I was saying a few weeks or months ago someone's got to do this?
And we were sort of saying, well, Boogie Nights was kind of that. Maybe they wouldn't do it.
You were saying that, but I was saying I don't think Boogie Nights was the John Holmes story per se.
Yeah.
It was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. But John Holmes, that is an interesting story. And it's great. It's dark and weird, and the murders involved. And I don't even know if they ever solved those murders. I think he kind of took it to the grave, pretty much. I mean, the idea is that John Holmes knew. There was essentially a massacre that took place up Laurel Canyon. And, you know, basically, I grew up, you know, not up on the hill, but down the hill where the poor people are. But I had friends that lived up and went to those schools and the whole thing. And there's basically a massacre that went on in there, like four or five people. And
yeah,
guys just coming in
the script,
in with,
the bad guys steal from the bad guys, and they knock each other off.
The idea was that John Holmes ripped off some drug dealer, and he went to the place looking for him, kind of thing, killed everybody but him. Mm. John Holmes, they always wanted to, you know, the authorities felt he knew who was behind this, and he probably did, but he wasn't going to say anything or he'd be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just, I guess, died of AIDS in prison. Yeah.
I'm the Johnny Cash guy. I don't know the Holmes.
Oh, I thought you were saying Johnny Holmes.
No, I'm sorry. Johnny Cash.
Sorry. Johnny the Wad Cash. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Drew's favorite hobby is to ask a guest one good long question right before the mics hook up. What is it about film actors? And then the mics heat up.
And then everything
tragically
gets
quiet. Tragically, their answer. John C. McGinley's here tonight. Salt of the earth, this John. I'll tell you what.
He is.
Not one of these troublemaking actors that you've heard us talk about.
No, he's the glue that binds the movie together.
Yeah, I don't think that's
no troublemaking
glue. I think
over
that's...
here.
NBC, Thursday nights, 8:30, Scrubs, everybody. Drew's favorite show.
Favorite.
And Drew...
And I've got approval to go on the set. So excited.
I won't
sleep until I get out there.
Hold on. James says you have to pass a rigorous audition that he's going to conduct.
I'll go. I don't mind reading.
Leave your house.
I'll read.
There he goes. Fearless.
Drew's a horrible actor. You don't want him working.
No, Drew's coming over to the hospital.
I've got tape now with Dawson's Creek.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a good episode of Dawson's Creek.
I gotta see it.
Oh yeah, well, see.
James Mangold is here as well, and Identity is the name of the film. James wrote it. He directed it. He played Zeus and God in it, just behind the camera, and that's coming out this Friday. And it really does sound interesting and compelling, and I am definitely psyched about seeing that.
We talk about a lot of films in this show, and we don't ever.
No.
Compelled to go out and see them.
No.
Like this.
No.
This is a trippy movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
And it's
tight.
It is.
About an hour
it's
and so and so.
It's an e-ticket ride. It's like you get on. It's an hour and a half. It's just bam.
Well, I am. I'm looking forward. Now, who is? Who's in this? John Cusack, Amanda Peet. John's in this. Who else?
Ray Liotta.
Who else? Who are these?
Rebecca
two?
De Mornay.
Oh, that's who I'm looking at with the red hair.
Yeah. Amanda Peet, we said that.
Yeah.
Clea Duvall. Clea Duvall was in another movie I made, Girl Interrupted.
Yeah.
And
In the Rain.
In the Rain, yes.
And the Rain.
And the Rain.
All right. Coming out this Friday.
Yeah, Rain.
It's the movie poster with the hand where the fingers
the
turn out to be people, and the mouth is Amanda Peet. And the palm. Palm mouth. I'm working on that, too. Abby?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, basically, the other day, my boyfriend of a month almost, me and a friend kissed his car like 1,000 times in red lipstick.
Uh-huh.
And we wrote him a note that kind of basically said, I hope we didn't mess up your car too bad, but if we did, we'll do you.
Did you use the word do, or was there some other word there?
No, it was the F word.
The F word, okay.
And this is your boyfriend's car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of car?
I don't know, it's crap, though.
What?
But he has a nice system and everything. But basically, we wrote to condom and mama, too, and we just wrote really
explicit stuff in the scene.
Was this, where was the car parked?
Oh, it was in front of his house.
His house.
The church. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he didn't really care about the car, but his parents found it.
His parents found the car before he did?
Yeah.
The note, or did they find
and
it?
The
and
note?
The note.
Right.
And they forbid me from ever seeing him again.
Oh, yeah.
How old is he?
He's 17.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, so now what?
And, well, I really, really loved him. And it's just, like, I kind of feel like he died, because, like, I can't ever talk to him again.
What happened?
Say died?
No, I feel like he did, because I can never talk to him again.
Okay, so he... Okay, let me get...
Well, how long ago
straight.
Did this go down?
Like, 2 days.
2 days ago.
Were you going to have sex with him with your friend?
No, we don't. We were totally, totally joking.
Are you sexually active with him? Or
no,
were,
not
were you,
at all.
Were you going to be?
No, not at all. Like, he's not like that at all.
All right, you got to go hat in hand and make up with the parents.
Yeah.
I tried to, but they're the type of people that, like, they have their own views on things. And, like, I mean, they aren't even religious people, but they won't even, like, they came over and they talked to my mom.
Ooh.
And.
That sucks. So they brought the note?
No, they didn't. They didn't bring the note. But I did tell my mom about the note, and she was pretty cool about it.
Okay, but they came over. See, when I was in high school, I had a retired SWAT guy that I kept posted on the roof with his hat backwards. And I said, anybody come walking up with a bow tie or holding some paperwork or any kind of official business, including my father, go ahead,
take them out.
I'll get their ID. We'll dump their body, whatever it is. It can't be good. So they came up and spoke to your parents, and what did they say?
They basically said that, you know, everyone makes mistakes, but I can never talk to him again because they don't want us to ruin our future. Because
right.
I really think they thought we were serious.
And were you able to convey to them? I know you sort of said you did, but was your boyfriend able to convey to them that we don't do that? She
not
was
really.
Just kidding.
Like, when I saw them, I started, like, violently crying and, like, throwing up. And I got really sick.
When you called his parents?
His parents, yeah.
You got sick talking to his parents?
Yeah, they actually came over because we live next door.
Oh, well, the next door part is, again, things, again, if you were making a movie, it'd be the things you'd put in somewhere in the first act, not the end of the third act. Next door, okay.
So, yeah, that's another problem.
Okay.
But this is 2 days ago, right?
This happened, we did it Sunday night and they found it Monday morning.
Okay, so, now here's the big question. Your boyfriend is 16.
17.
And you guys have been together for how long?
Well, I've known him for 8 months, and we dated a month ago. No, we dated a couple months ago for a month, and then we kind of called it off, and then...
Oh, he called
Ooh.
It off. Hold on.
Yeah,
we got to convene in my chambers here. Okay, here's what I was about to say, because we all remember being 16-year-old guys or 17-year-old guys, and we all know if there was some... hottie piece of ass
next door
that we were hot for, that our parents could be damned, we would work around it.
They'd kill
you. Might
parents.
Give them a little lip service, you're right, pops, but you'd be out that window and into her
right.
window in no time flat. Now the fact that this guy's sort of saying, well, Dad, you got a point, maybe she is wrong for me, suggests to me that he is not interested
or
in
he
her.
May have even gone, hey, I'm not into her, I don't know what's her deal, she's obsessed
right.
with
and
me.
The fact that he dumped
or he's
her,
banging somebody else. And he's banging someone else.
The fact that he dumped her. But first thing I would have done is put a nice coat of lacquer over that car.
To keep it that way. Yeah.
Yes. Like it was a diploma or a coffee table from the 70s with some beer coasters worked in it. Like, I've driven that car for the rest of my life. I would have been like in my 40s. And be like, Adam, why are you driving an avocado green 77 Vega? Don't touch it! But, all right, he is not interested in her.
Yep.
And she's blaming this incident on that.
Yep.
All right,
unfortunately.
Let's see. Where was she? Line 5?
Yep.
All right. Abby?
Yeah.
All right. We think he's not so interested in you.
Basically, the thing was, like, we went out a couple months ago for a month, and then we're back together. Like,
Did you break up?
I think we dated in December for a month, all throughout December.
Why did you break up? Not basically.
What?
That was a long time ago for me, and I was still just, like, I was living with my dad. I wasn't really...
Abby?
Yeah.
One sentence. Why did you break up?
I never saw him, and it just didn't work.
Why didn't you see him?
Because I didn't live next door.
Yeah. But, a 17-year-old male, it's into a relationship. he'll find a way there.
And let me tell you what basically is with the why'd you break up.
I'm in denial with that basically.
It is the equivalent to what do you do for a living? Well, right now, that's what right now is to here comes the horrible job. Basically is to I got dumped. Yeah. All right, so.
We were back together like yeah, well, tomorrow would have been a month.
I know you've said that 300 times.
Okay, so has he called you himself?
Has we talked to him?
No, we?
Me and my best friend.
Yeah, but what about you? Are you...
Well, I talked to him after it happened, and he was laughing. He thought it was funny. You know, he's like, yeah, I love you. I'll see you later. And then we talked to his parents, and his parents were just like, you can never talk to him again.
And he has not contacted you?
He's not allowed to.
And you go to the same school he does?
No, we don't. I'm in continuation school.
And wait,
another sidebar?
Hold on, sidebar. Meet
were you saying to him, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and he said, I love you too, see you later, goodbye, I gotta get out of here.
Well, actually, he was the one who started saying, I love you. Like, he would send me messages like, oh, I love you
all
forever.
Right, Abby, here's the bottom line, because we can't get a straight answer out of you, although we're never wrong, and when our spidey sense starts
tingling. But basically,
here's the answer. If he is in love with you, he will contact you.
He'll find a way.
He will find a way. He will defy his parents.
Yes.
And especially
true.
You two living next door to each other. I mean, he could poke his penis right through a knot hole in that TNG dog-eared fence.
Forget the knot hole. Just be
I'd make my own hole. That's right. I got an auger for a Schwanz. I'd go right through it.
Schwanzauger.
Schwanzauger. That's my German name. You guys ever had Schwanzauger? It goes down smooth. It doesn't have much bite. You get a nice buzz. You got a keg of Schwanzauger I got from Circus Liquor out there in North Hollywood. It's great keg beer. All right. We're going insane.
All right, we're
going
to go.
She's in denial.
Yeah. He will find a way. That's the bottom line. Just sit tight.
Yes. And we'll
if he wants to.
Yeah, right. And we'll be back.
Time tonight. I want to thank John and James for coming in here and tell everybody to go see Identity. Yes.
I think you landed the job tonight. I do.
I may have landed the
A-material job.
The A-material audition. All right. Thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you.
Guys.
Hey, real pleasure.
And anytime you like, and we wish you much success. I'm sure Identity is going to do great. Coming out this Friday, everybody. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
I love everybody. I love everything.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.